Good afternoon, Indianapolis. It's Dan, and it is Tuesday afternoon. My apartment complex is doing mandatory mortgage inspections this week, so I'm actually working from home today again and trying to get my apartment a little bit ready for the secret police to check on my apartment. But anyways, barring the invasion of my privacy, for which I pay approximately $1,200 a month, things are great, and Indianapolis is great. But I was thinking today about oil prices. And I know people want to, like, have all kinds of debates about oil. And let me just get something off my chest. Over the last year, I posted a lot of videos / podcasts on YouTube related to the issue of peak oil. And I really don't enjoy talking about peak oil any longer because it's kind of like talking about cancer or talking about, you know, diabetes when you're with somebody that chugs 20 Cokes a day. There's just no fucking point. I wish and I hope that the American people had the common sense to realize that there were no magical unicorns in the earth farting energy. But whether you believe in biotic oil, abiotic oil, whether you think thorium will save us, whether you think there's some magical fusion reactor waiting in some laboratory at Lockheed, maybe you think that Italian with the ECAT, yeah, that's not bullshit. That's not CIA. Just look at ECAT, you know, just Google ECAT and tell me if you think that's for real. Who knows? You know, maybe somebody has invented a way to separate hydrogen and oxygen from water, producing more energy out than in. And if that were true, they've proven that water is inherently dangerous and life should not exist. But barring magical unicorns, unstable water, and any number of other fantastical belief systems that would allow us to believe that we could have, I don't know, 20 billion, 50 billion people on planet Earth, and we would have no resource issues, barring those crazy ideas, I'd like to talk about the price of oil in a world where oil and, let's just say, all energy is probably a relatively finite resource from a terrestrial perspective. Now, there are always these jackasses, and again, they read a little on the internet, and they think they understand Ray Kurzweil and the singularity, and they'll come back to me and say, but Dan, nanotechnology will allow us to recombine hydrocarbons and to remove them from the atmosphere so that we can have a closed-loop energy system. It reminds me of those diagrams from the Middle Ages, you know, the ones that showed water, you know, being poured into a cup and somehow the wheel keeps moving on its own. I mean, it's during the Middle Ages, especially the High Middle Ages, and there's a really good book by Jean Gimpel, it's called The Medieval Machine, I think, and it's a book I read when I was an undergraduate studying history. But there are a lot of wonderful wood carving depictions of these perpetual motion machines from the Middle Ages. And this is the thing. I don't think much has changed in 1,000 years. I think people still look for that kind of fucking nonsense. Somebody wants to believe in perpetual motion machines, feel free. But assuming energy is a finite resource, assuming oil is a finite resource, whether it's biotic or abiotic, if you believe in abiotic oil, then you have to tell me at what rate it is consumed or produced. Because, and this is important, if it's simply produced without being consumed or broken down, it means that the earth would be covered in oil. And I hate to break it to you guys, as useful as oil is, and oil is wonderful, it also happens to be really fucking toxic shit. So the earth covered in oil probably wouldn't work out so well for life either. So again, whether oil is biotic or abiotic, I don't give a fuck. Fuck off. If you want to believe that the existence of Titan, a moon, somehow proves that oil is produced abiotically, fine. I don't give a fuck. Really, I just don't give a fuck. Methane, in and of itself, proves nothing. Methane is an incredibly simple hydrocarbon combined to the, and let's just be blunt, the heterogeneous mixture, not homogeneous, the heterogeneous mixture that is a barrel of crude oil. And oh, by the way, not every barrel of crude oil is the same. Every time I listen to one of these fucking abiotic oil idiots, they like want to treat oil as if it's fungible. I hate to break it to you, but it's not. The marginal oil is really, really dirty, messy oil. Libya has access to something called light sweet crude oil, and it's still conventionally produced, which means it allows the Europeans to have their low sulfur diesel, and it's not half-assed butt crack on the other side of the world. So that's the reality. Not every barrel of oil is created equally. Some barrels are expensive, some are cheap. Some barrels are dirty, which requires a lot of post-processing once you get the barrel. And some barrels of oil are relatively, I don't want to use the word pure, but are about as pure as it comes when it comes to getting a barrel of fucking oil. But let's assume, to keep things easy for the people who watch television, that every barrel of oil is the same. If you believe what I believe, and that is that the amount of oil produced, even if it's produced continuously, isn't produced at whatever rate we want, which means that if it's produced at X, just because we want to consume it at 2X, does not imply that the Earth turns up its engine and produces oil at 2X. And if there are abiotic people out there who believe that, that there's a magical little demon in the Earth's crust that produces extra oil every time we consume too much, please email me about the magical demon and explain to me how it works, because you're going to win a fucking Nobel Prize. But barring magical demons, let's assume oil's finite. People look at the price of oil right now, and they say, well, Dan, if oil's finite, then why is it so cheap? Well, let me lay in a little secret. It's cheap for the same fucking reason that when I'm driving my car every day, I get advertisements for fucking, I don't know how many diamond ring companies are out there, but every fucking diamond ring company out there has a fucking sale right now. Diamonds, whether produced synthetically or naturally, are not cheap. So why the fire sale on diamonds? Why the fire sales everywhere? Why is everything 30%, 40%, 50% off, 50% off? Why, for example, with oil prices collapsing, does it also coincide with copper, iron, pretty much every input to the modern economy? See, these are the questions people have to answer. If they're going to look at oil in isolation, which they shouldn't because oil is so critical, they're going to end up with answers and results, I think, that are incorrect. But if you look at oil for what it is, and that is probably the most important input to the contemporary economy, which means if you removed oil at this point, it would be akin to removing someone's liver. I'm not saying they would immediately die, but they will eventually die, and it won't take that long. So, I don't know, maybe we'll call it removing both your kidneys. You know, make it not so bad. But the point is, whether I remove both your kidneys or your liver, the point is you will eventually die unless you get another liver or a replacement kidney. In this case, there is no replacement kidney and there is no extra fucking liver. Okay? So removing oil from the world economy is not a minor issue. And that's why when people say these wars we're fighting are about, you know, Western values and bullshit like that, that's a total fucking crock. Every war we have fought in the Middle East since World War II, every country we've supported, every fucking CIA operation we've had, everything we do is about controlling natural resources and specifically controlling oil. People who look at Iraq and Saudi Arabia and see it for some type of moral enterprise are fucking morons. The closest you can come to that are the fucking neocon douches. But all the neocon douches are really professing is a will to power. All they're really saying is that America is awesome, therefore it should run the world. They're not really proposing anything sophisticated as a theoretical model. So oil prices have collapsed, but they've collapsed essentially for reasons that make perfect sense. But you have to ignore the news. You have to ignore Obama's State of the Union address. You have to ignore everything Janet Yellen has said for the last 18 months. You pretty much have to ignore all the propaganda bullshit. But if you recognize that the most logical, the most likely explanation for the oil price collapse since 2014 is that the world economy is not in good shape. Okay, that is the most likely explanation. People who want to come up with other kinds of explanations, I love it. It's interesting for someone that enjoys fiction, and I do, and I enjoy writing fiction. It gives me all kinds of fucking ideas. But the bottom line is this. Oil prices have collapsed for the same reason copper prices have collapsed. And folks who understand the nature of not just the world economy, but all domestic economies realize that when these types of materials collapse in the modern age, it pretty much implies either a recession or a depression. Now, again, there is the illogical explanation. Let's get the illogical explanations for oil price collapse. One of them is we have become a new economy of sustainable energy. Guys, I don't want to spend a lot of time on the number of BTUs required for 7 fucking billion people, but anybody who actually believes that solar and wind is going to fucking replace oil, just please, just We'll just stop right there. That argument pretty much ends right there. So 7-8 billion people, we're not going to get there with solar and wind. So that's not a good explanation. Okay, well, what about the guy inventing the new energy source, the crazy ass Italian or Lockheed that says they're 10 years away? And oh, by the way, fucking companies like Lockheed have said they're 10 years away from fusion since World War II, goddammit. So please, every time I hear that, I'm sorry. If I don't take it seriously, please forgive me. So yeah, if Lockheed actually had a working fusion reactor, which is highly unlikely given that the French have been beating their heads up against the wall for 50 years, but let's say that the French are all idiots and that Lockheed's filled with fucking geniuses that just don't build bombs and weapons. Let's assume that they actually do have a working fusion reactor that they know will be working in 10 years and will fit in the back of your pickup per the article I read a year ago. That would explain the collapse in oil prices. And this is what's interesting. In my opinion, it would also explain the collapse in every other resource price, and here's why. And it's a subtle issue, but for people who understand, I think, resource issues and energy issues and recycling, they get it. We can recycle everything. Like, I don't care if it's your cell phone, your car. We could recycle every item you know of if energy were virtually cheap. We could build, you know, plasma centrifuges. We could tear apart. You could literally build a furnace for every city where you could dump all the terrible shit that we throw away, and out the other side could come every single component element that goes into it. Not without a loss, because the laws of thermodynamics rule, asshole. But the bottom line is the net effect will be raw materials on the other side and no more garbage. So actual recycling. The problem is, for that kind of recycling to work, energy has to be ridiculously cheap. And I don't mean $40 a barrel or even $10 a barrel. I mean energy in real terms, if we were to measure it in BTU terms, would have to be revolution, almost in a revolutionary sense, in a technological sense, cheap. Like, energy would have to be so cheap, it would be almost like when oil hit the world stage in the late 19th century. That would be the impact, and it would actually be worse than that. And when I say worse, I don't mean that in a bad way. But the disruptive effect of any energy source that would replace oil would be pretty big. It would be mostly a good thing, but it would be huge. So there is the other explanation. It is possible that... It is possible that somebody somewhere has discovered an alternative energy device that will allow us to free ourselves from fossil fuels for use for energy. Now, that's possible. And if it's true, and when I say possible, I want to give it that 1 in 1,000 possible, because frankly, I don't think it's that possible. But 1 in 1,000 is better than the fucking lotto, so I suppose, yeah. But it's possible. It's just not very likely. So here's the situation we find ourselves in, if you believe what I believe, and that is that every time the central bankers print money, every time they manipulate interest rates, every time they try to goose the economy with some type of economic stimulus, they're not actually producing any economic growth. What they're really doing is overloading a system that's in a state of failure. The current world economy is actually much closer to being near cardiac arrest than anything else. There's no other analogy, simile, there's no other comparison I could make that seems more prescient than cardiac arrest. The current world economy is near cardiac arrest, and we have central bankers, and I will include Yellen, because yeah, we got the 25 basis point raise in December, but what the fuck? That was at best a flake of snow, you know, hitting your tongue. It, for a brief moment, it existed, and now it's gone. Those 25 basis points were more or less consumed by the world economy in a matter of hours, and now we're really talking about the same situation again. But it's different, because again, we are talking about a Japan that is under the Bank of Japan, under Kuroda, which has completely gone insane. I think that Japan is getting ready to do another series of super Abenomics, which God knows what that will do. It does look like the ECB is going to get some kind of German support for printing, or at least the Germans are in such a state of affairs domestically, they might not notice. But in my view, I think we're on the verge of another era of printing, because the problem is these folks that run the central banks, and again, you know, you can believe it's a conspiracy theory, I don't, But these folks have a paradigm, and it's based upon Keynesian economics. And they don't have another alternative. There is no other tool. From their perspective, growth in and of itself is an inherent good. For those of us who understand the nature of reality, we know that that's not true, that growth is merely a feature of a system. Could be good, could be bad, but it is not an inherent good. You know, the tumors that were growing in my sister back in 2012 that grew so rapidly that she was dead in 3 weeks, those were not good because they grew so fucking fast. So just because something fucking grows, and just because it might grow rapidly, does not imply it's good. You know, people look at Japan and the tiger, excuse me, China, and the tiger economy they've had since the 1980s and 90s. And I have to tell you guys, folks, China's going to wake up to a rude awakening too. They were the other side of a really poor trade. There was a really terrible trade that was engineered in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s between the U.S. and China. One side of the trade was about losing factories and jobs. That was us. And the other side of the trade was basically slave labor resources for what would become eventually worthless currency. China was the other side of a really terrible trade in that particular circumstance. So I think that the central bankers, Janet Yellen, Mario Draghi, Kuroda, the whole fucking crew, I don't think they have a fucking idea of what to do. I think that they are akin to the dinosaurs. You know, they might be looking up at the sky, seeing this glowing orb up there, but they don't know what the fuck it is. And from their perspective, they don't care. In fact, when I think about it, when I think about Janet Yellen and Ben Bernanke and the central bankers, it reminds me of that film Aliens from 1986, the sequel to the movie Alien. You know, the one with Sigourney Weaver in it, where, you know, she's all hooah and hardcore and whatever. And there's this scene in the movie, there's this part of the movie where she's saving the Marines. It's near the beginning, not towards the end, but it's almost towards the middle. But she's saving the Marines. She's in one of these armored vehicles, you know, one of these APCs, and she's saving the Marines. And she blows out of the building, and she gets outside, and she's got the Marines in the APC, but she's really stressed out, and she's still got the fucking pedal to the metal. And Hicks comes up to her and says, you know, come on. You know, ease back, Ripley, ease back. You've blown the transaxle. You're just grinding metal. If I could tell the central bankers anything, if I could tell them one thing, ease back, you stupid motherfuckers. Okay, you are literally grinding gears at this point. You print more fucking money, and the only thing that will happen is this entire fucking thing will collapse. That's it. You will simply usher on the end. The end comes anyways, in a sense, because we all have to pay the bill, but the scenario you're proposing, no. So please, ease off. Ease off, central bankers. You've blown the transaxle of the world economy.